Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would minister to us afresh, Lord, through Paul writing to Timothy, that our lives would be changed. We would be more like you. So bless this time, Lord, and thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Even so, Lord, come be among your people by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to get married, basically is the idea, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good servant or minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and tales, and genealogies, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. So in other words, this is worth all the strife that we take. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things, Timothy, command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in how you live or conversation, the agape love of Christ in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, and Paul expected to be released, and we do feel he was, and then rearrested. Until I come, give attendance to reading. Once in a while, people ask me, can you not do a topical message? Like, is that just, you can't figure that one out? Or have you never gone to, like, preaching class where you tell them what you're going to say, and then you give them your first point, your second point, your third point, and you tell them what you just said through your first point, your second point, and your third point, and then wrap it up? And, I mean, you know, can you look, I went through the, I took sermon prep when I went to a Bible college. I mean, hermeneutics, I always viewed it as a band from the 60s, Herman and the Nudics. And yeah, I got that, but you're thinking, so why do you just kind of roll through it, go chapter by chapter, verse by verse? Well, a couple things. One, back in the late 1960s, early 1970s, Pastor Chuck Smith out there at Calvary Costa Mesa started teaching on Sunday night, verse by verse, through the whole Bible. It took him, I think, 3, maybe 4, might have been as long as 5 years, but he would teach Sunday night, sometimes going as long as like an hour and 45 or hour and 50 minutes. That's a long, so I wonder how that nursery worked out. And he taught through the entire Bible, verse by verse. And he, in many ways, discipled an entire generation of the church. And it's amazing to me how he does it. If you've never heard Pastor Chuck teach, and so we praise the Lord. Now, Genesis chapter 1. God. I'm like, how does he do that? He got through the whole thing in just a few years. When they put him on the radio in Kenya, put him on the radio in Russia, put him on the radio all over the world, they used that verse by verse, what was originally, I think, the 5,000 series. They used that series on tape cassette and put it all over the world. They figured it would make the best impact. So when we started Sunday mornings, we had one service on Sunday morning, no midweek, although within the first year we started doing midweek for those who volunteered on Sunday so they could have church too. And I figured if we have one shot at being able to share with people, what God used really powerfully was verse by verse that Chuck taught. So we go verse by verse. One, because it's easy. I know what next week's text is. I don't have to sit around trying to figure out a theme or anything else. I just pick it up where we were able to, you know, leave off, so to speak. But two, more importantly, the Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's given by the Holy Spirit. And it's anointed. So even if I completely miss it, but you're listening, you're going to change. So it's like I'm doing the trapeze act with a high net. Can't lose. Because even if I just read it to you and your heart's open, your life will change. And so when Paul grabbed the Ephesian elders, had them come to Miletum, and he said to them, you know what manner of life I've lived among you. You've seen how I behave in all circumstances. He goes on and says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. He gave them the whole Bible. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Wow, that's intense. He said, basically, I taught you through the word. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where it comes from. Anybody have a Haley's Bible handbook? Let me see, raise your hand so you can prove they exist, just for those who aren't sure. First service had a bunch. Haley's Bible handbook, quite good. It's had like, I don't know, 40 printings or something crazy. They've had a lot of them. And if you, in the older ones especially, it would tell you multiple places, the most important page is page XYZ, whatever it was, and changed with reprints. And on that page, it said two things. One, get your people to read the Word of God for themselves. That'll change their lives. Two, teach them expositorily. Well, that's great. What does that mean? It's Nehemiah chapter 8, when they read the law and they gave the sense. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, a revival began to break out among those Jews who had come back from Babylon. And it's in that chapter that you hear, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Finally understanding what God's word says. Timothy, until I come, give attendance to reading. Give them the whole counsel of God. To exhortation, that's comforting, encouraging, coming alongside, and sometimes even admonishing. And you give them what it says. To doctrine, you will learn God's nature, who he is, the character of the judge of all the earth, how he works within people and through people, and the day that he will bring a right judgment. You'll learn all these things of God's nature and attributes if you just read the book, read the word. So teach them, give them doctrine and teaching, going through the word of God, and do this until I come. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Well, that's really cool. What do you mean gift? Neglect not the gift that's in you, Timothy. Well, let's go first to Ephesians chapter 4. Left turn. I'm going to go all left turns just to make it easy. He just flips back and forth. Great, we'll just keep going left. How's that? Make a progressive move here to the left. No pun intended. Sorry, it just happens. My tongue gets me in trouble more than I know. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling or vocation wherewith you are called to Jesus, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That should be the default setting among God's people. The bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and when you accept Jesus, in you all. But unto a couple of really super spiritual people is given. Is that what it says in verse 7? No. But unto every one of us, who does that include? Person next to me, don't get cute. You. Unto every one of us is given grace, that's charis, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God gives a gift to each and every one of his children who believe. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, when Jesus descended, made a proclamation, and ascended, he had two groups to choose from, the ungodly wicked dead and those with Abraham who died in faith. Which group do you think he took to his father's house? Anybody need help? When he ascended, he led captivity captive, those who died in faith like us, but didn't know his name. They gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it, but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Descended, what are you talking about? An evil and adulterous generation requires a sign. But no sign will be given to this generation except the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. Remember that? There you go. He descended. Peter tells us he made a proclamation. And listen, if you tuned in to some of the people out there, it was not a WWF match. It wasn't a drag down, knocked out blood match. He just went down and proclaimed because it's finished. It's not round two. He that ascended is also, but he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, verse 10, is the same that has ascended far above all heavens. He's at the right hand, in fact, that he might fill all things. And when he ascended, he gave some gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and he gave them for the perfecting, the equipping, or the outfitting of the saints. He gave them for the equipping of God's people so God's people could do the work of ministry to make Christ known for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ. Well, that's fantastic. Great. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Here are more of those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not 2nd, 1st, in case you find yourself there. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you uninformed. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led, we were in idolatry. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. If it's a true work of God, you don't have to be afraid of what is the Spirit going to do. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. You know, the first time I read that, like, man, I never really thought about it. I don't think I ever really tried to say Jesus is the Lord. But he says you can't, but by the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to try it with me? 1, 2, 3, Jesus is the Lord. Aren't you like, wow, that, yeah, right on. Can't remember ever saying that before I met him. That's interesting. No man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, charisma, gifts that God gives us, but the same Holy Spirit. There are differences of administration, so two people have the same gift but functions differently through them, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, the strength with which those gifts are operated, yet they might be the same gift. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. Once again, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to only those who come to first service and attend early prayer meetings. Is that what it says in verse 7? You're welcome to do both, but no. The manifestation of the gifting of the Holy Spirit is given to every man and to every woman who believes to profit with all. You all have at least one gift. Most of you have multiple gifts of the Holy Spirit. For to one is given by the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, knowing how to deal with something even though you've never done with it before, and it's exactly right. Word of wisdom. To another, given by the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge. That is knowing something you could not possibly know, yet God shows you. And when God gives you a word of knowledge to an unbeliever, boy, that really freaks them out. They're like, who told you? Nobody told me. I just get this sense from God. Here's what's going on. Can also be a real encouragement to someone who's struggling. God gives you a word of knowledge. Had a sweet story in between first and second service of somebody who was at Panera Bread, of all things, met someone who basically came up, said their name, and gave them a word of knowledge. Never met them. Yeah, it has an impact, doesn't it? Like, wow. That was a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith, not just salvation faith, but unusual faith, willing to trust God and have him put you in really strange circumstances, trusting he's going to take care of it. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And if you sense you have the gift of healing, quit hiding it. We've seen some people healed, but would to God we'd see again the gift of healing. So many people of late going through different maladies. And you betcha it takes faith to actually say, you know, I want to pray for you that God would heal you. It takes faith to operate every single spiritual gift. But if you sense you have the gift of healing, man, quit hiding it. To another, working of miracles. Saw one of those last year in an airport in Germany, literally. To another, prophecy, forth telling, warning, or encouraging God's church. Agabus warned them there was a famine. Agabus warned them the guy who wore this sash would be tied up. They're basically exhortations from God. To another, discerning of spirits. Is this legit or not regarding the work of God and the word of God? Very important. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Notice that it doesn't say everybody gets tongues. Maybe you have the gift of tongues, maybe you don't, but that doesn't mean you're not filled with Spirit and being used by God. Church has gotten lost in left field on that one sometimes. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We had a trip to Israel one time. We were baptizing there in the Jordan River, and a group joined us all of a sudden. They asked they could join us, get baptized. And so we baptized this guy, and I brought him out, and he came out and just threw his arms up and just started praising Jesus. I was like, yeah, right on. You know, and then you get into the bus later, and a few of the people up in the front are like, man, that was the craziest thing when that guy came out of the water and started speaking in tongues. I heard him praising Jesus in English. They heard tongues. Who knew? I had just-in-time interpretation. That was great. I was able to enter into his joy with him. Like, well, that was convenient. And by the way, when that happened, the lights didn't dim.
This is the Holy Spirit I'm working. I had no clue. I was just like, wow, that was awesome.
Only to find out later, I just interpreted a tongue that didn't know it could. But all these work of that one and self-same Holy Spirit, dividing each of his lovely children only those gifts they really wanted. Is that what it says in verse 11? Nope. Dividing severally to every man as he wills. He gives you the gift he wants you to have. What if I don't like it? You need to read your Bible more. Because if he wants it for you, it's good. Also Romans 12, same subject brought there to the Romans. He said, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, how many of you have toes, fingers? I've gotten to know my small intestine lately. Didn't pay it much attention until January. His body has many members. We're all members have not the same office. You know, my small intestine has never changed a flat tire. But it's still needed. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same job or office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone are members of one another. You need your small intestine to keep your fingers moving. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. In other words, God's the one who picks. Whether prophecy, covered that. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Again, it takes faith to tell people what you think God's saying. Ministry or serving, everybody can serve. Let us wait on our ministering. He that teaches on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, and that's the ability to give in many ways uniquely in a sense. God's really blessed you and you give and you trust him. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, this is to basically administrate or to oversee, basically to help lead. Whether you're a volunteer, a coordinator, pastoral staff, whatever, you know, elders and deacons, the one of the key ladies there among the widows, the Naomi sisters, someone who can put a work in order and basically make it easy for everybody else to serve, that's a gift. That's a gift, administrations, basically, or ruling with diligence. He that showeth mercy, someone who is able to really reach out to whether God's people who have messed themselves up and are broken, or the unsaved world who really needs to know the love of God. He that shows mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So now back to our text. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. How many of you have a spiritual gift? Every hand should be up. Chickens.
If I admit I have a spiritual gift, then he'll ask me, well, why aren't you using it?
Neglect not the gift that is in thee. All of you have a spiritual gift. What's the next question? Have you neglected it? Are you trying to put a trip on us? No. I want to see you get a reward before his throne that you can enjoy for eternity future. Dad's asked you to deal with the trash cans. You don't want to do it, and you're not going to get allowance. And I'm going to be like, I tried to warn them. You buried your gift, and you got no reward for a long time. Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. When they anointed and prayed for him or prayed for him, somebody basically said, you know, I sense God's going to use you in this fashion. And it was a huge encouragement. It came to you by prophecy with the laying on hands of the presbytery, that's presbyteros, you know, otherwise known as the episcopus, which are the elders. Meditate on these things. Now, there's a lost art, meditating. slowing down and think, you know, meditating. That's not zzz, 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 ding. That's hard to meditate. You ever notice your phone is completely quiet until you start to try to pray? And then, like, everybody and their dog thinks you're giving away, you know, free water, gold bars, or something, and your phone just blows up. All of a sudden, people want to talk to you. Today, I'm driving along the church, just in time delivery, passing the hotels there at Route 100, this way to Eagle View, going down the road, and there's the Turnpike on-ramp. Everybody familiar with it? Going along, and ahead of me is this old, like, 2007, 2008 Prius. I'm like, nice, still on the road. We had one of those. You know, and I'm watching it roll along. I'm like, man, that guy's moving. So I'm catching up, kind of eventually getting there. And that person's heading for the clover leaf, the hard turn to go on the turnpike. As I'm watching, I'm like, man, I know what that car is capable of. And wow, they're banking on their tires. I'm like, hey, wow, this is going to be an interesting turn. And I happen to get just up next to the car as it's about to, or should have made its turn. And here's some dude with his sweatshirt hood up, two hands texting, totally into his phone. I know what that means. He's going to wake up and realize he's about to hit the little ravine. So I start trying to get away from him because, the last thing I want is him to be like, bang, right? Now I'm late to church and all that. And I'm like, bud, you got one job. Drive. He went like 100 feet down the side of the road there and eventually, kind of woke up and brought it back. And, I'm now looking in my rearview mirror like, man. That's the opposite of meditating. You can't even drive. Slow down and think. Meditate, Timothy, on these things. Meditate on what? Well, number one, that we should trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Earlier in the letter, God desires that none should perish but all come to the knowledge of the truth. Earlier in the letter, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom I am chief. Meditate on these things. He is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Number one, press people to say where they stand. Do you believe in Jesus? No. Okay, well, at least now you know where you stand. As opposed to, I'm not, I kind of know about him, I kind of whatever, and so it's not a no and it's not a yes, but it's equally as lost. Meditate on this, Timothy. Challenge people. You die today, where are you going? He's the Savior of all men, but especially those that believe. Challenge them to believe. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself, when it's convenient to them. Is that what it says in verse 15? Give yourself wholly to them, completely to them. I've had over the years people come to me and say, man, can I tell you something? Like, yeah, sure. What's up? Well, when I first came to Christ, got saved, I was kind of like, I don't know about this whole, walking with Jesus thing, but I can see I need him. And so I kind of followed along, but this actually happened to me a couple of years ago at a funeral. This guy came up to me and said, can I tell you something? Like, yeah. Same story. I came to Christ kind of like holding a little back. He said, it's kind of like I gave God 90%, but I kept 10 for me. And I want to, if I gave myself wholly to him, I might have to go like evangelize in New Jersey or something. Kidding, but I'm having fun. The idea is, I don't know where he might take me. I'm listening. Like, And he said, the beginning of this year, and it was pretty far into the year, I realized I was holding back from God. And I apologized. And I said, you get 100%. He said, man, I've had such peace and such joy, and it's like I've never read it before. The word is just opening to me. Yeah, because you gave yourself wholly to him, not partly. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter written by? Good, just want to make sure you know what book you're going to. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, perhaps you've heard of him, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, and that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge, discernment. To knowledge, temperance or self-control. To self-control, everybody's favorite, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, the agape love of Christ. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness one to another, and the love of Christ. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off. Question, does Peter know what it's like to mess up? How many? I'll give you three chances. Does he know what it's like to be restored? He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Prove that you're in the faith. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Interesting. Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself. Make your calling and election sure. And unto the doctrine, back to Timothy, continue in them. For in doing this, you shall save both yourself and them that hear you. You continue in it first for you. And if you continue in it, others will watch you and follow. Great book. We're out of time. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for... Again, I can't imagine what the Russians, the Iranians, and the Chinese would be doing right now if we'd lost our government in one moment. So I thank you for those who are in authority, Lord. I pray you give them wisdom. I thank you that, Lord, at least today we can lead a peaceable and quiet life. Watch over this country, we pray. Lord, we have no right to ask for your mercy. But then again, who does? Thank you for the foundation of this country upon godly principles. And pray the country would come back to it that we might experience your great blessing. Go with your people this week and let them shine so brightly that people can see they've been with Jesus. I might ask them, why are they so joyful? In Jesus' name, amen.